Michael Kist, Benjamin Solak. It's the Kist and Solak Show, presented by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation.
You are flying high on the Kist and Solak Show. This is episode 73, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Ben is furiously looking up the number 73.
I already know. Isaac Seumalo, suck it.
So it's the Isaac Seumalo Show. I'm Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. As always, joined by the best doggone co-host in the game, Mr. 8-year streak without a bad day. He's actually sitting right by me. We get to do this with each other here in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. Ben, how you doing, brother?
I don't have to look it up when it's a guy who's actually on the roster. I'm only looking it up when there's like no dude who's wearing 66 for the Eagles currently. But, dude, I'm doing very well. Oh, man, Mobile is such a fun week. You know, like the director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, always says, like, you know, for 1 week, the entire NFL just like descends on this small town in Alabama. And that's really what's happening. Like, everybody is here. So many people you get to talk to, so much, you know, different opinions on different stuff. We just saw John Gruden. We talked with him about the Khalil Mack trade. You know what I mean? It's just like insane stuff that you get to do, which is a ton of fun. So I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be with you and happy to talk Senior Bowl.
I got to slander Tom Cable as he was standing right by us, and I hope that he
heard
us.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, I said, or no, it was Arif Hassan that said very loudly that he thinks that the offensive linemen are going to see a steady decline throughout the week because they're working with Tom Cable, and I completely agree with that. I don't know if you heard it or not, but I thought it was a funny line. But look, this is going to be a bit of a quicker show. We're going to try to get you caught up on what's happening on day one. Obviously, some weather issues caused day two to be an indoor facility practice where media did not have access. We still have some notes about that. But one thing that I want to get right on the top is the fact that Draft Network did a mock draft, a live mock draft, video and everything. You can follow that at Draft Network LLC. One of the picks, and I say picks because Daniel Jones threw him one, was to the guy that you, was it you that mocked him?
Joe mocked him, but Joe cleared it with me first because I was watching him make the picks. Once he got to 25, I was like, hey, you need any help maybe? No? Okay, cool. Nasir Adderley was the selection. He's a safety out of Delaware. And the immediate response was, oh, it should have been in the trenches, which certainly could have been in the trenches. But the biggest issue for Philadelphia's defense this year was not pass rush and trench play. It wasn't even corner play, in my opinion. It was the lack of depth at safety really limited the defense once Rodney McLeod went down. Now, Nasir Adderley can play free safety. It's huge. The Eagles do not have a depth safety. Corey Graham, Trey Sullivan, who can play that position. And so they do need to fill that depth role. But also, McLeod's going to be coming back from major surgery and has a very cuttable contract next year. You could even pull it off this year if you really had to generate some space. Right. It wouldn't be great, but you could do it. And so, you know, they're looking at a point where if McLeod seems like he's lost a step back from injury, they're going to need a starter at the position by next season, and they already need a depth piece this season. So I think safety is potentially an early pick. Again, trenches would be fine. Adderley can play free safety, but he has corner experience as well. Fantastic athlete. Came in a little bit light, but that's okay. A University of Delaware product. He didn't have great weight room stuff. You know what I mean? Like, obviously a weight room is a weight room. Pounds are pounds. But he didn't go through a big Power 5 sort of weight program. And so you think that you can add more mass onto that frame. It's a little bit spindly. At least I think you can get him nearer to 200 pounds, a little bit over. And so Nasir Adderley, to me, weigh-in, he didn't win, but practice-wise, he's been fine. He's getting coverage reps. He's holding his own against tight ends and slot receivers. He's going to be playing deep if he goes to Philadelphia. He's around one selection. 25 is a good spot for him. I like him in that range.
So one guy that I like, and I don't know if the Eagles met with him, but we're going to get into those guys in a second. But one guy that I want to bring up, and I was speaking with friend of the show, Matt Waldman, before the practice. We've had him on the show a couple of times. He's great. Matt Waldman's RSP is awesome. Works for Football Guys as well. But he had put out there on Twitter before that there was a guy that he had comped to Thurman Thomas, but he didn't say who it was.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Can I guess? Was it Bruce Anderson?
It was Bruce Anderson.
Easy money.
That's easy money. As soon as he put that tweet out, I watched Bruce Anderson, the running back from North Dakota State, that night. And I said, this has got to be the guy that he is talking about. And a big thing for Bruce Anderson this week was the receiving drills, because he didn't have a lot of ball production as a receiver in college. But that does not mean that he can't do it, because there are definite flashes of him being able to do it. He's done very well in the individual drills here, showing that off. He's got natural hands. He's explosive out of his burst. He looks comfortable running routes. You know that he can do it. So it's another situation where, was he asked to do it? Can he do it? He just wasn't asked to do it. he definitely can do it. So I think he raises his stock. He has a track background. He has a kick return background. As a freshman, he had 16 kick returns, 585 yards, and 2 touchdowns. His average is over 36 yards. It would have led the FCS that year if he had qualified with, I think, 2 or 4 more kickoff returns, whatever their limit was. So Bruce Anderson is a guy that I love for the Eagles, could sneak his way into day 2 somewhere. Who did the Eagles meet with? Please tell me it was Bruce Anderson.
I don't know if they met with Bruce. There's a good chance they did. And the reality is we get to see 10 to 15% of the people they meet with. The scouts and the player and the personnel executives are just in the same conference center with the players, and they're constantly grabbing guys, sitting down with them. Most of it is clerical work. It's not a huge signal. That's the reality. They're asking guys about their history, their background, when they were starting, their injury stuff, and they're just taking notes, checking boxes on forms so that they have this data for when they do final evaluations. And so I saw Eagle scouts talking to David Sills, the wide receiver out of West Virginia, and this is a guy who talking with scouts previously in the season. The Eagles have been high on Sills for a while. They're getting to know him here at the Senior Bowl. Jerry Green is this like outside linebacker D-end hybrid who never found a fit at Mississippi State. They're talking to him. And then the one who I think is interesting is Titus Howard, who's an offensive tackle out of Alabama State. He's a good mover, came in with good size. You know, these small school offensive tackles becoming developmental pieces has really become a thing for the NFL over the last few years, as offensive tackle and offensive line play in general, I think, has decreased at the Power 5 level.
Right.
Then you start just like kind of reaching for these athlete types, these body beautiful types, and you see if you can build them up into something. So Philadelphia looking at offensive tackles makes sense. I think Titus Howard is probably earlier than they got prior, and Mailata, he'd be a more significant investment in the position.
And I actually have an anonymous scout quote about Titus Howard.
Oh, sourcing.
and the quote is, quote, "Fix his effing hands, everything else is good." So he's got some work to do in that area, obviously being a small school.
Fortunately,
product.
The hands are not important when it comes to blocking. Never even use them like once or twice a game. So it's no problem.
But you're right. They are looking at a lot of those types of guys from the smaller schools that are just body beautiful, because one of the call-ups from the Shrine Week was Oli Udo. He's from Elon. Shrine game call-up. He's got 36-inch arms. So what did he weigh in at? Like 300 and just massive. That's the actual weight that they listed for him.
A healthy young man.
Yeah.
What
other tackles did you see that you think that the Eagles might have their eye on? I know a lot of people like Andre Dillard. Dalton Reisner is here. There's some other guys. I think Chuma from USC, your buddy John Ledger, was saying that he was having a good week.
Yeah, well, Ledger took that from me, so he can watch himself. Now, Chuma was a guy who I watched his 2017 tape out of USC coming into the season. I said, all right, so the dude can move a little bit. He's got great, he's very nimble, he's got quick feet. What are we looking at in 2018? And I thought there was inconsistent tape in 2018. There were steps forward, there were still mistakes. He's got a really long frame that doesn't sit well against a power rush. He doesn't have a great anchor. He doesn't have mass in the lower half. Now, he came in over 300 pounds, and in speaking with the people that he was training with coming into the offseason, that 300-pound benchmark was huge for him because he was not playing over 300 pounds, right? And in the Pac-12, you can really get away with that because they don't pass rush with a lot of power there. A lot of their pass rushers are kind of these smaller outside linebacker types. And so it made sense for how he was playing, but he was able to get over 300, which is big for him. And like I said, a long frame, you usually think you can add some more mass to it, but you wonder what that's going to do to his agility. Now, that said, here this week, you've seen him taking on more traditional rushers and framing them really nicely and locating his hands really nicely. That's been what surprised me, because you didn't really see that as much on the Pac-12 tape. Now, he's dealing with a lot more five techs who are two-gapping, who are slow rushing him, and so it's a different sort of approach as an offensive tackle. I think he's adapting really well to different styles of rushes, better than I would have anticipated. So Adoga's a guy that I've like been on, but as more of a project type over the past few months. With this Senior Bowl performance, he's going to, I think, play himself into a stronger consideration for teams now, you know, checking boxes on him. Like I said, checking boxes on paper, but this is a box on film. Mm. He really looks like he's framing rushers and locating his hands nicely. A little nasty, too. Right? You know, he's willing to put some guys in the dirt. He's willing to hit them. The only other tackle that I would say has interested me so far from a potential starting perspective is Dennis Daly out of South Carolina. Now, he's a guy who went up against a slew of rushers in the SEC, obviously. You know, you're going to have your Josh Allens there. You're going to have the Clemson rushers. This is a guy who up and down success in terms of against these top tier talents, but you see a guy who will frame really nicely and who can exchange power in the trenches. There's been one tackle who I've thought's been able to deal with Montez Sweat for the South team these practices. It's been Dennis Daly. He's been the only one who's been able to hold up.
One guy that I want to get your opinion on, because there are going to be some polarizing opinions on him and people are going to mislabel him and whatnot, but it's Andy Isabella, the wide receiver out of UMass. I wrote about him for BleedingGreenNation.com as part of my primer piece to get us ready as someone that the Eagles may target, because they have been looking at deep threats. Isabella beat Denzel Ward in a track meet. I think it was a 100 and a 200 meter race. And he has said that he can run as fast as like 4.26, something like that. He's been timed at a 1.5, 1.10 yard split. So this dude has burners. Now, he's tiny. He's a tiny, tiny dude with tiny, tiny arms, and he can't hold a whopper with his tiny, tiny hands. But you see the explosion that he has. So he's got the long speed. The short area speed is something to see. There was a rep where I remember just gasping as he came out of his break. It was a quick slant. As soon as he got out of that thing, he separated so quickly. It was it was incredible. So he's extremely quick in the short to intermediate areas, really crafty at the break point. He was really productive too. So small school guy, but also went up against Georgia and put up like massive numbers. It was over, it was like 12 catches, 160 something yards or 212 yards, something like that.
Two touchdowns. There was a lot of garbage time work there in that game. I'll just put it like that.
But he still did show that he was a deep threat in that game as well. The problem with Isabella, and specifically one of the reps that I'm talking about here, that slant where he separated so easily and so quickly, he drops the ball. And I don't know if he's a natural hands catcher or not. What did you see from Isabella that you liked, maybe didn't like?
Yeah, no, I agree with the sense that he is inconsistent with his hands. And then there's also, there's been a discourse about how long it takes him to get into his route breaks because he tries to...
He does a lot.
Do a lot, which I don't hate too much, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to run option route releases. He's going to run stuff that has multi-breaks to it because that's going to play to his strengths. So I don't hate it. And also, this is the senior bowl. You're kind of trying to showcase what you got. And so, I don't know, I think you stunt a little bit.
Yeah.
What I'll tell you is, like, you know, I don't think if a coach told him, hey, just take three steps and snap into the break, he'd be like, no, man, I need to do this at the top. Like, you know, he's going to, like, it's going to be okay.
He's going to conform to what they need on that specific
play. You can coach, you know, nonsense in a route break out of a guy. You can't teach him how to have great wiggle on, like, a return route or an arrow route or stuff that has, like, multiple tough angles to it.
And one guy that I remember that people said that about, and I kind of agreed with them, especially at the Senior Bowl, was Cooper Kupp. Did a lot of stuff extra at the Senior Bowl at the top of his route. Has not been an issue for him at the next level.
Yeah, so there you go. Now, that being said, the better version of Andy Isabella here is Penny Hart out of Georgia State, who is, like, so Hart was a guy who, like, I saw a little bit of out of Georgia State before he came to the Senior Bowl, and you're like, all right, this dude is just a great mover. He's super small. He'll be a returner. That's fine. And then he gets the Senior Bowl invite the last day. Man, like, we're talking, like, he was told, like, 3 days before the event, like, yo, you're coming. Emmanuel Hall dropped. You're going to be here. Hart is so loose. You just talk about an athlete who there's no angle he can't get through. There's no way his hips can't point. He's working through contact. He's dealing with physicality, and he's able to keep his feet moving. He's just he's got such nice bend. He's got such nice agility. It's just you look at him, and there's just so many possibilities with the ball in his hands and with him working into space to get the football. Okay. To me, what Isabella does best on film is the quickness to separate, and I think Hart's got him there. What Isabella will do best testing wise is long speed, and I think Isabella's got Hart there, and so it's not really like a one-to-one. Hart's the better version, but to me, if you're looking for like that quick undersized slot, then to me Penny Hart right now is outplaying Isabella. And you know, I went back and watched some Hart tape last night. I haven't gotten deep in Isabella tape. Hart's tape holds up. Like, you know, this is not just, you know, a practice warrior here. He was able to do this. I mean, he's a three-time Sun Belt Conference player. Mm. Two first team. He was a freshman all team. And he was third team this year when they're basically playing with an option quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, he's a fantastic young player. So those are the slot guys that interest me. I don't know. I'm interested to hear what you've thought about interior defensive linemen. It's a spot that is super strong here. It's probably the strongest position group we've got here in Mobile. And obviously it's a spot Philadelphia could address next to Fletcher Cox. Some big names. Who do you like?
Did you see me like looking at the names to see who I wanted to talk about? Because I was going to go into your defensive line.
No, but we're so close physically right now that the connection is palpable.
One guy that I really like that I saw in Shrine Week too, Daylon Mack from Texas A&M. This guy just has this natural low center of gravity. He's built so thickly in his butt and his thighs. And just by his height, the way he's built, he gets under dudes. And when he gets under dudes, he can at least move them. He might not blow past them, but he's got a good first step to be able to get into the frame of the opposing center, guard, wherever you want to put him. But he would be a guy that would just suck up space and attention away from Fletcher Cox. I think he's like 320. But he was moving dudes back, and he was also showed off a good club move. He showed some different moves. He had some pass rush juice a little bit to him. He's not going to be a dynamic pass rusher at the next level. He did have 5.5 sacks last year, and I thought his tape from 17 to 18 did show some improvement in that area. I think he's better than his teammate that's here, Kiki Kingsley, and I can get your opinion on that. But Daylon Mack on the interior was one guy that I really liked.
Kingsley Keke. You messed it up again. You always mess it up. It's Kingsley Keke. It's not Keke Kingsley. Dalen Mack is an ex-5-star recruit who underperformed in college. Mm. And this already like came out in like a Belichick way. Like, oh, Belichick loves to attack ex-5-star recruits. Yeah, everybody does. Like, that's not that stupid. The 5-star recruits are usually like, there's a reason why they were 5-stars.
Yeah.
But the point made in the article and the point overall with 5-stars is all the coach has to do is convince himself that he'll be better at developing that 5-star than his college coaches were, and he's going to want to get him. You know what I mean? And yeah, Mack's obviously illustrating a lot of that potential, a lot of that power that made him such a highly touted recruit. Now, frame-wise, dude can lose some weight. I think dude can get slimmer. Yeah. I think right now, you know, he's the size where he's trying to hold up against SEC rushers on the or SEC offensive linemen on the interior. He's trying to hold weight, trying to two-gap. You can make him a little smaller and he can still play one check at the NFL level. I think he has bad weight that he can lose, which is something that will increase his explosiveness, which is something he needs in his game.
Yeah, and I still think he's explosive enough. So he does, if he does drop that weight, then yeah, it's going to be something very nice that I'm starting to look at and be attracted by. What about the edge guys? Because you mentioned Montez Sweat already. What other guys along the edge have you? I see on the first day, I got to see the South practice. They moved it to the other side, and I was so locked in on Nasir Adderley because I love him so much that I missed some of the reps. And the film room was a crap show today because everybody was off and everybody was packed in that doggone Exos film room. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to get some of those reps from the North team in the first day. What did you see from either the North team or from the South team? Just did you see someone that you liked along the edge?
Right. So obviously Montez Sweat is the guy that people love to talk about here. And Sweat is a perfect example to me of a player that's getting counted twice in terms of like coming into coming into Mobile. We said, okay, Montez Sweat wins with length. He wins with power. He's got good hand placement. He's a big dude, strong dude. He's got the ideal frame. And then he came here. He was a big dude, strong dude, had the ideal frame. He went with length, power, and hand placement. Everybody's losing their minds. This is what he was supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
It's important that you don't count things twice when it comes to players. You have their film. You have the expectation for them. Montez Sweat killed the weigh-in. But when you watched him on film, you expected him to kill the weigh-in. So you can't boost him up your board for doing something that when you had ranked him on your board, you expected him to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Unless you're like, you know, just trying to stay completely agnostic of that, which doesn't make any sense to me, then go ahead for it. The only other defensive lineman that's rushing off the edge that has really interested me thus far has been Jonathan Ledbetter, who's a guy who was an interior player for Georgia. He's slimmed down. He's around 270 now. I don't know exactly how he fits. He's probably more of a guy you want playing at a 3-tech, 5-tech, and a 3-4 front in an odd front, which Philadelphia never does. And so I don't know if he's a good fit for the Eagles, but he's won some rushes around the edge. Only other guy that I can think of who's been particularly strong. North team-wise, going through that film, Zach Allen had some good rushes. Anthony Nelson had some good rushes. Again, these are bigger guys that aren't going to be typically lining up at the wide nine. And so I don't see much there for Philadelphia. I'm sure they would love to see like O'Shane Zeminis from Old Dominion, who's like their size, their speed, become a dude. But he's just not having a good week. He's not. He's a little bit out of his depth.
Last question for you. That I want to get your opinion on this guy. I was watching this film the other day against Daniel Jones, who has been pretty bad this week, and you kind of expected that. So I'm not going to check that box twice. I'm just going to call him not a first-round quarterback. But Juan Thornhill, the safety out of Virginia, I really liked his tape.
Yep.
What did you think of Thornhill in his week so far? I thought he's been solid.
Thornhill, like that's the thing. Like you talk about Thornhill. Thornhill has been as bad as every other safety and every other corner is. Here, you know what I mean? Like, this is a guy who, like, when you're in a defensive back position playing one-on-one in terms of isolated in space, you have no safety help, you have no underneath coverage, nothing like that, you're gonna lose reps. Adderley's lost reps. Amani Adewariye, who's a potential first-round corner, has lost reps. It happens. So Thornhill's lost some reps. Overall.
Say that again. Adewariye?
Adewariye.
Adewariye.
Amani Adewariye.
Amani O. Got it.
Okay. You're gonna lose some reps. Thornhill's been a guy who clearly I think is a step quicker, especially for his length, than a lot of the other players that you're seeing here. There's a lot of small school defensive backs who are around, and you can see that his length, in my opinion, stands out a little bit. Like, you put him up against a Darnell Savage, even a Rocky Sin, who came in undersized, which is a big problem for him. Thornhill clearly has a different physical profile there. Another ex-5-star player, another guy who in Virginia was never, like, super productive. Obviously, Cavaliers kind of been stuck in neutral for the past 2 years. So I liked Thornhill's film a lot. He hasn't done anything for me that's like super stood out this week. Really, no defensive back has done anything where I've been like, yippee-ki-yay.
Well, it's not set up for them to have success.
So to me, you're looking at, you're relying on the film for this guy. He was getting spoken to with the Arizona Cardinals, with some other scouts, about he had a reckless driving incident in the beginning of last year that got squared away, and he's potentially going to be suspended or whatever, that I didn't know about. So teams are doing their homework on him for sure. Mm. And Thornhill's, the Cardinals are a team obviously needs a safety. They're going to be drafting early round two. You know, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I want your opinion on one last guy, and then we go. Which I'm assuming you haven't seen his film. Terrell Hanks, that linebacker out of New Mexico State.
Hanks is a guy that I circled because when I was watching Bruce Anderson.
Oh, yeah?
Did you see him lay out Bruce Anderson when he was trying to release?
Oh, on day one. Yeah. On day one. Yeah. Yeah, if you watched the Draft Network LLC live show after day one, you would have heard that our offensive winner for the day was Bruce Anderson, and our defensive winner was Terrell Hanks when they met in the hole.
I stuck on him after that and really zoned in, you know, got in on his reps. I have not seen his film. But he is a guy that I put like three circles around because he looked really good in coverage. He looked really smooth. And I like what he brings to the table as a coverage linebacker in that regard. So I'm hoping that the film matches. We'll see if it's just like a really good practice or if it's something that holds up when you go and check
it. There's some of that in film. To me, there's some processing concerns for sure. Like, it was a pretty simple fill. But man, I'm going to tell you something right now. When Terrell Hanks walked out onto the stage.
Yeah, you jacked.
You could like so.
Oh, that's, you know what? Actually, I circled him then. I circled him twice. And I didn't even realize it.
Listen. So there's a buzz phrase that scouts use when a guy's really jacked where he goes like his skin is tight, right? And the point where like he's so jacked it's straining his epidermis, yeah. Right? Terrell Hanks looked like you could cut yourself on his abs. Dude, I have never – like that was – he was so shredded.
Yeah.
Like there's built and then there's shredded. Like he was 240 and he looked lean. He was ridiculously built. Oh my goodness. A healthy young man. Do you have the official measurements?
I do, and I'll show you the
Terrell Hanks came in at 6'2 flat 234 with 33 5/8-inch arms.
He's the only one that I had an asterisk next to because I was like, he won the weigh-in.
Well, yeah, because when you look like the Predator on stage, dude is an animal. But anyway, if you're like, to me, he's a Sam type. Yeah. And Philadelphia can use him if Hicks is gone. Mm. Like, I think you can have Hanks and Brandon playing next to each other, and it makes sense in terms of how Philadelphia uses their linebackers.
So a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that we're going to be talking about throughout the week. We've got practice number 3 coming up today after this is released. We'll be there. We'll be breaking it all down for you here at Bleeding Green Nation. Ben, would you say goodbye to the gentle listeners?
Thank you, as always, for listening to the Kist and Solak show here on BGN Radio. We had a good time doing the podcast together. Last year, we were doing podcasts together, and Mike lost his voice because he partied so hard that I was doing it with other people and pretending that they were Mike. And so this year, it's nice that Mike decided to retain his voice for the podcast. But no, this is live from Mobile. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we're going to be back again, I'm assuming, after all the Senior Bowl practices are done, and we actually, you know, have a practice to talk about, to give you some more notes on what players actually look like on the field. And we'll obviously talk about some of the results of the game as well. As we continue to transition into the offseason, we'll talk about more draft prospects the Eagles could target, including the underclassmen, get you prepared for the combine, what matters there, and talk some free agents, talk some contracts as well. Please go ahead, leave a rating, review, and subscription if you enjoyed the show, which usually you guys do, which is super cool. So go ahead, please leave that rating, review, and subscription. I've been Benjamin Solak on Twitter at Benjamin Solak, that's S-O-L-A-K. He's been Michael Kist on Twitter at Michael Kist, NFL, that's K-I-S-T. We're going to catch you guys later this week.
We all we got.
Ooh.
We all we need.
Yes, we are.
Fly, Eagles, fly.